Hello and welcome to the Mindful World Parenting Summit. I'm your host, Dr. Stacy, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by Jean-Pierre. Jean-Pierre's life's purpose has been to help people through holistic wellness and the development of human potential. He's the co-founder of Sage Natural Wellness, one of my favorite places, an international chain of wellness stores. As well, Jean-Pierre is the founder of the Alchemy Network, a coaching and training advisory. He's here today to connect us with some really ancient wisdom of the importance of knowing thyself so that you can know your kids. Welcome, Jean-Pierre, to the summit.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Dr. Stacy.
Oh, we're so thankful for you being here. We were just having this beautiful conversation prior to us starting to record today, and I'm excited to hear more about some of these, this incredible tool that you're bringing to our awareness for deeply knowing ourselves. So maybe we can just start with the title, Know Thyself, Know Your Kids. Tell me more about this.
Well, being a parent, I've discovered the dangers of projecting our own values and our own ways of thinking on our children. And along the way of developing Sage, I discovered, as you say, a very, very old psychological system called the Enneagram. And as such, I was able to not just develop it in a work environment. We have 1,500 people at Sage who all know their Enneagrams, but we have a home where it turns out that my wife, my daughter, and I are three very distinctively different Enneagrams, and yet all three of us are leaders. So as such, we all want to lead. You can imagine just how small a car is that has only one steering wheel. And we have three different ways that we would drive. And so it was very clear to me that if I didn't apply this at home, I would not have the relationships that I have with Kate and Kiara, who actually became immense contributors in the Sage business. We worked together. And Kiara, being the leader from the gut, is one of those people that just walks in a room and she's just naturally in charge. You know, hey, people, here's what's going to happen. And I'm thinking, you know, when she's 2 years old, wait a minute, doesn't this kid understand respect? I'm the dad, you know. She was like an adult when she popped out. She's like large and in charge is her Enneagram. And so it became really clear to me that if I understood her distinctive way of being, and how it's distinct from mine, rather than expect her to show up like I did. I'm a different generation. We were supposed to have all this reverence to parents that I get is not part of Kiara's life, and it's not part of her Enneagram. And as such, I've learned a tremendous amount about the potential of my relationship with her, which we can call parenting, how much to influence, how much to stay out of her process, the importance of being current with her and not impose my points of view. So really like listening. So I actually am immensely grateful for this thing that we call the Enneagram as a parenting tool. That's okay. What it became for me, because that's even more important than what I did for the business of Sage, because Kiara will probably do something even bigger.
So really, a tool that helps us really understand the character, I guess, that in this person. And what strikes me is there's a lot of respect for that. Like, there's not a focus on trying to necessarily mold or change, but just like, who is this person?
Yeah, to go discover the gems that are naturally built in. I think that when we try and raise our kids, we tend to be actually bringing outside influences, particularly our own, the ones we had from our parents, and some of our wise ones would say seven generations back, when in fact there's these natural jewels inside of them that just want to come out, and we get in the way. So, you know, one of the first things I realized is that there was at least as much for me to learn from her than the other way around. And I was lucky because her Enneagram is also a highly intuitive one. So she had what looked like psychic qualities at a really young age. And I knew she knew nothing about psychic phenomena. So I just listen. I just ask questions. I just marveled at what came out of her mouth. And the last thing I wanted to do was to tamp anything down because it just wasn't normal. Like I hadn't seen it before. So I just went, okay, what can I learn here?
Uh-huh. I'm feeling like we have daughters that are very similar. Anyway, but miraculous, right? When we open up to kind of just understanding and seeing, because many of us raised to feel or made to believe that our children are extensions of us, and the extent to which they turn out okay depends on how we've molded them. Right? Yeah. But that seems to be the dominant view. And this is very different.
Right. Not the case. I'm not saying there's not room for putting some, guardrails.
Sure.
But let they be large enough that the full expression of her shows up. We've actually named the Enneagram the language of appreciation at Sage as a way of reminding people that you can do therapy with it. But that the real gift is the discovery of the goodness in people, because whatever you put your attention on grows. We've heard that many times. At Sage, we even say whatever we celebrate grows exponentially. Mm. And we've got the exponential growth to show. And so in Kiara's development, we celebrated what made her and we appreciated, and as soon as I knew the Enneagram, I knew to go look for that intuitive strength of hers, her ability to make decisions like black and white real quick. It's coming from her. She's reading her body, whereas I'm reading my heart and my wife is reading her brain. And those are three types of decision-making. They all have value. Mm-hmm. But for Kiara to try and operate from her mom's or her dad's way of making decisions would be such a loss. Because a gut decision leader can make 100, 200 decisions a day without breaking a sweat. They're not always right, but they're never in doubt. And people love to follow someone who's not in doubt. Mm-hmm. Whereas I'm making my decisions with my heart, which means I care a little too much about what other people think and try, you know what it's like to try and please too many people at once.
Doesn't
work. Yeah. And Kate's operating from a analysis and possibilities, and she can create more possibilities all the time. So to pin down a decision is hard for her. Mm-hmm. For Kiara, boom. So what we've learned to do is when we're looking at all these possibilities, we'll bring Kiara a menu of possibilities. She goes, Mom, Dad, that one, of course. And we'll, she's right.
Wow. So you really, this is amazing in terms of just teamwork. Like if everyone understands each other, right? And you're not trying to lean on the things that are weaknesses. We just bring together our strengths and appreciate those.
Yep. She was doing that at a really young age. I'm guessing she might have been 12 or 13 when Kate was looking at the possibility of the first diffusers that are going to be this color and that color. And she had all these choices on her desk. Kiara walked in and said, Mom, black and white. Have black ones, have white ones, and that'll, and we don't know where that decision came from. And yes, she has a sense of an artistic sense to her, but it was so obvious when she said it. Mm-hmm. And it was so useful. And it's part of the success of how that line now colors are coming out. But black and white was the way to go. We'd had beige up until then. We had one beige unit we thought fitted with everything. So it applies to family decisions. It applies to business.
Yeah.
And then there's this thing about how our personalities actually change dramatically when we're under stress. So the minute Kiara's under stress, that gift goes away. Mm-hmm. And so instead of trying to push what happened, where did you go? It's like, what's stressing you? Let's help you think that through. And the moment you step out of your stress, you come back to being your normal, gifted personality rather than your struggling, reactive personality. Okay. Same with us. So as a parent, the moment I'm stressed, I become a really shitty parent. And so I need to be aware what my personality goes to a different place than Kiara's. Mm-hmm. Each Enneagram goes somewhere different. I become withdrawn and stubborn. My wife does the opposite. She leans right in and wants to dogmatically solve the thing. Mm-hmm. So knowing that, you know, we can't both be stressed at the same time.
Right. Okay. So can you tell us a little bit more about this Enneagram? Like, is it something that we can talk about without seeing in front of us? Or can you just give us an overview?
I'll start by saying Enneagram, so people can remember it and look it up on Google. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff, mostly good stuff on it. If we had a chart, it would actually look like a map. It looks like sacred geometry. Mm-hmm. And the map is actually a map of how our personalities work, not how our brains work, but how our personalities work. Mm-hmm. And the Enneagram teaches us that our personalities are basically a persona that we created to survive in a world that became dangerous at some point in the synthesis of our personality. So the thinking is that we have some possibilities in us that at 2, 3, or 4 years old, all of a sudden something happened. You know, the man we thought was God, dad, who was this loving being, one day loses his job or has a car accident, comes in, and all of a sudden when he grumbles, it's like thunder for our little sensitive hearts that are going, daddy, 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 and all of a sudden, oh my God, what do I need to do for that to never happen again? So it's kind of like one of the first thoughts we have. It's automatic. We don't have the social or emotional sophistication to deal with daddy grumbling. So we go, oh, if I can be perfect, the perfect child, and do all the right things, this will never happen again. And that begins that pattern. That's the Enneagram 1, the perfectionist. The Enneagram 2 is the helper giver. Oh, if I was just more connected with that, and if I go massage him, or if I bring him cookies, and if I'm a really generous child, I'll never have that again. That's the launch of the Enneagram 2. The Enneagram 3, which I suspect you might be, and I certainly am, is known as the achiever. If I just do a lot of good things, and if I'm just like the best child, the best student, the best psychologist, the best businessman, the world will love me. So it's all a strategy for being loved. So if I'm perfect, I'll be loved. If I'm giving, I'll be loved. If I achieve a lot, I'll be loved. The Enneagram 4, if I'm unique enough and artistic enough and I do beautiful things, then I'll be loved. The 5s is, now we're into the brain types. If I have the answer, so those are your researchers, and they just accumulate immense amounts of information until one day they pop up with something like E equals MC squared. So Einstein was a 5. The Enneagram 6 is the intellectual problem solver. One could argue Bill Gates was one of those. The Enneagram 7 is the adventurer. And it's like, if I can just get away from all these problems and just do something interesting in my head, like I'll think of something great. So they're visionary. The Enneagram 8 is Kiara. Now we're back to gut types. It's like, if I'm in charge, I can create safety for others. But I need to control things. And so that those are the values. The Enneagram 9, the final one, is the peacemaker. If I can just mediate and just understand everybody and really be in the background and not push my opinion, but really bring out everybody else, then we'll have a safe environment and everybody will be good. So 9 different strategies to create a better world that starts very internally and then usually moves out in certain of the personalities. Particularly the 3s, the 7s, and 8s, who are known as the take charge leaders. They're pushing their whole personas out into the world. Other ones are taking it in, and the 3 in the middle are kind of being the helpers. And so imagine building an organization, either philanthropic or a business, and knowing who's who in the zoo, and what are their values, and what are their strengths. And now bring that to parenting, because frankly, building a business is like a massive parenting job, right? Like Kate and I have had 1,500 kids, but all the while we had one that was extraordinarily pivotal and precious, and she's going to be the next generation of entrepreneurship in her family. Mm-hmm. And of course, we wanted to build a business that was going to change the world. Kiara got to do that from day well. She was 2 years old when we started, you know, so she's got 28 years of direct or indirect experience of building a business that's going to change the world. I can't wait to see what she does next. Mm-hmm.
Incredible. So interesting, because when the way you describe it as a psychologist, I would say, and with other teachings, this notion of the ego, the persona, the thing that the structure we create in order to survive our experience. And it suggests to me also that there's change that happens over time, that in order to grow, we have to come out of this structure in some way. Does that fit with the way where you're coming from?
Perfectly. That's exactly okay. What at least I'm teaching with the Enneagram is start by understanding yourself. Mm-hmm. So then you can see the map will actually say, now here's your most logical places to expand into. Oh, so as an Enneagram 2, I have a wing in 2 and a wing in 4. The 2 is the helper giver. So I wanted to build a business that was going to help and give to the planet. My other wing is 4, which is that uniqueness drive. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to build a business that like no other business ever done before. And so I wanted how the business ran to be different than everybody else's. And I wanted what the gift they brought to the world was different than anybody else's. So you can see how my Enneagram was actually predicting what kind of business I was going to build. And then as I see that, so I know my threeness, my need to achieve is not something I need to work on. That's built in. That's my hardwiring. Mm-hmm. But I can develop my generosity on my 2-wing. I can develop my artistic uniqueness on my 4-wing. But then there's also this thing called your arrows. Where do I go under stress? I go to 9 and I become the dark side of the peacemaker, which is withdrawn and stubborn. So I need to catch that so I don't live there too long, because that's not going to get anything done. There's also an arrow where I go at my best, and that's 6, where I become the problem solver who's highly responsible. And so I can see now that when I'm, you know, well slept, well fed, well exercised, connecting with everyone, I go hang out in 6 and I take responsibility for really big things. Like the medical system, I think, has some really big flaws. I want to change that. So I'm taking responsibility for impacting the world to using, first of all, being one's own health practitioner, first and foremost. So we educate, like our business is an education business. We just happen to have a good product if you want to take some home. But we're here to educate you and being super well. And then nature should be your first medicine. So food should be your first medicine, which comes straight out of nature. Well, hopefully your food's going to come out of nature. Mm-hmm. And so that responsibility. And then after that, I can look at, well, you know what? I've been really serious. 3s can be known to be so driven. They're serious. I don't have a sense of humor. I married a 7. They're a ton of fun. I have learned how to have fun in life by marrying the perfect Enneagram for me. I would like to say that I knew then she was a 7. I didn't. I just knew that she was a ton of fun and I needed more of that in my life. So lucky me, I married Kate, and she's brought so much color in a life that was so driven and a little bit, you know, 20 shades of gray.
Okay.
It's useful on so many fronts.
So many friends. And what I love about it as well is that it's very kind of organic, really appreciating that we grow and evolve throughout our lives and that we have wisdom in the people that we attract, or, you know, and it's this journey that we're on together. And there can be so much respect for each person and ourselves, like seeing yourself and just... there's no judgment in this Enneagram. It's like, it's not good or bad or anything. It just is. And exactly. I can have awareness and see my ways and come back and be like, even maybe have some sense of humor about that and kind of shift ourselves in terms of where would be a better place to hang out.
Yeah. So let's expand on this idea of respecting oneself. Mm-hmm. The Enneagram certainly allows for that to grow, and basically having a falling in love with yourself. I didn't have that until way, like, you know, sadly, it was very late in my life before that happened. Mm-hmm. And how can I be respectful to my child and fully love my child without sacrifice until I fall in love with myself? So the Enneagram was hugely powerful because I couldn't fall in love with myself until I understood myself fully. And I had read all sorts of books on, well, I've been studying psychology since 1975 at McGill, where I had a chance to be a student teacher. And so I have been studying psychology basically the bulk of my life, my full adult life. And it wasn't until the Enneagram that all of these studies fell into place where I could organize my knowledge and my inquiry in a way that I could discover my strengths first, be aware that my weaknesses were totally optional, and then take steps to spend more time in my strengths and ever less time in my weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So I apply the same to care.
Well, absolutely. And you know what? This is, I so appreciate this conversation because for myself as a psychologist, I felt compelled. I gave myself a mission when I started my own practice because I needed to come out of my shell, to try to change the conversation about mental health. And this is part of that. It's like, why should we be ashamed to look within? But our culture has set us up in a way with such a lie and a disservice that your emotional life should be something that you're scared of, ashamed for. And so people walk around feeling so disconnected. So I so appreciate the understanding, the philosophy, what you're promoting in terms of telling, you don't know yourself, love yourself. And when we have that experience, it just naturally kind of creates that experience for someone else, right? You can
realize
only space
you just
for someone
now,
else.
Yeah, do you realize you just now put your finger on why my coaching training business is called the Alchemy Network? Uh-huh. Alchemy is about transforming, originally transforming toxic lead into valuable gold, lead to gold. But on a metaphysical level, it's about finding those things that society tells us are weaknesses or what's wrong with us and discovering that in that is the gift of us. And so it's about transforming all of these things that we think we need to get rid of it. Heaven forbid we get rid of them. If we could get rid of them, which we can't, we'd lose the gift. So it's about finding the gift in each one of those things that society might tell us is a weakness or a fault.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. Thank you so much. I'm going to be watching this over again just to have that statement. It's so beautiful and it's so true. So true. So tell me, I mean, right, talk about transformation. Right now, we're speaking. I think when we first started talking about having you here and started developing this summit, we were responding to this pandemic. And now we're also in a time of great social unrest and a reckoning of so many who have felt or have experienced so much of a message of you don't belong and you don't fit in and this is not accessible to you. And then others on the other side are just like, what's happening? How is this happening, right? Like there's so much turmoil. And, you know, my response to this is what transformation kind of looks like. Yeah. So I'm curious to know from your perspective, in the midst of this paradigm shift, what is your hope for how humanity might evolve through this?
Mm-hmm. So I'm taking a Course in Miracles approach to seeing COVID. And that perspective would suggest that everything is either an expression love or a cry for love. So I'm seeing, particularly south of the border, an extraordinary cry for love. There is... So COVID is actually kind of intersecting with a need for what Burning Man suggests, you know, radical inclusion. That was one of the things that attracted me to go find out, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. What a cool experiment in the middle of a desert where radical inclusion is like rule number one. And then there's another series that are all about this human experiment of what's possible. And I believe that COVID and what's happening in the US right now are COVID is a cry for loving ourselves and stopping being in what I'll call high burn mode. It's no surprise that we've given the planet a fever. And now many of us are getting a fever because we were just moving too fast, burning up resources in our own environment too quickly. And now we've had a chance to see what it looks like when we slow down, and how many of us have discovered parents and those of us who are teachers going, whoa, I think I'd rather be Zoom in the afternoon, family in the evening, rather than on a plane. And so I now have Zoom with my business and life with my family rather than the other way around. What a gift that has been. And so slowing down was necessary. COVID's given us that. Relooking some of our social systems, like policing, like prisons. I do a lot of my giving back work in the world of what can we do with the prison system, and bringing the Enneagram to the prison system. There's something out there worth looking up called EPP, Enneagram Prison Project. Okay. The results are mind-boggling, what's going on there. And so so this is, you know, one more wake-up call, a pretty dramatic one, where we get to rethink some of the things that, you know, some of us might think it makes sense to allow someone who's had a terrible upbringing, right? Speaking of parenting, a complete lack of parenting or negative parenting. They've had a really awful upbringing, and then of course they're going to make a mistake. And what do? We put them in a box and make sure that they have a really awful adult life.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So we have to rethink all of that. And I think this is a call for that. I think we should relook the policing thing. I don't know about you. I grew up with punishment. Never worked for me.
You know, it doesn't work. We know
I tried it on Kiara. It didn't work for her either. I'd love to see what's better than punishment. And on all levels, from parenting to, I see parenting as actually, you know, our society. It's like part of how our society works. When we put someone in a prison, it's no different than when I was a kid, I was put in the corner. It's just, you know, didn't work then. It's not working now. So I'm actually encouraged, being an alchemist, I know it takes heat to transform something into something. And right now the heat is on. And so what are we going to do with our systems that don't work? I've been working really hard in the first part of my life to change a medical system that I thought needed some real upgrades. And now I'm looking at social systems that need some upgrades. And is there a role I can play there? And I think the Enneagram just happens to be, you know, being my age now, I like to say, if something old doesn't work, try something older.
That is brilliant. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 Love. Let it be love be the foundation of our system.
Speak of something older, right?
Yeah.
Let it be love.
It is. Okay. Kind of related to this, maybe you've touched on this a little bit, but what do you believe we're currently doing well that makes you feel hopeful about the future?
Well, all of the things I've just talked about, this parenting summit is an example of, we're accessing our technology to reach a lot of people with ease. We're delivering very important things. I used to have to go and put my butt in a uncomfortable chair for a weekend to get what some people are going to be able to just flip on the video, share with friends, send that information. So I'm loving how, you know, some people talk about technology in a negative way, but it's like anything else. It can be put to good use, and it can, you know, it can work or not work. I don't believe in good and bad. I believe there's what works and what doesn't work. And so I like to take what works. And in technology, I'm finding we can communicate some really great messages and round up some support for the things that we need to change. And so I'm focusing on that right now. And I'm helping take this old psychological system called the Enneagram, use technology to bring it to people, whether it's in prisons, whether it's in corporations, which can be prisons, by the way, or whether it's in a family setting. That's kind of a next step for me. I haven't really expanded that, but I want to support more and more parents to have access to the Enneagram, to create a whole new family environment where children are, I mean, any parent will tell you, I've got four kids, they're all so different. Yeah, you're right, you got that part. Now, why don't you figure out exactly how they're different so that their strengths can become highlighted?
Yeah.
Not asked to be the same.
Right. So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And if there was one thing, I mean, I think you've highlighted this, but one thing that you would like our viewers to action today that you believe would make a significant difference for them and their families, what would that be?
Well, if that the early part of their life and they're still actively supporting the intellectual and emotional development of their children, I would suggest that they look up the Enneagram, do a test for themselves, and start realizing that the more they give themselves, the more they'll be able to give their child. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe in sacrifice. I believe in really get to know yourself. And then you will be in a position to really get your kid and know them and support what's coming through them, not the other way around.
Okay.
If you were at a later part of your life and you're ready to give back, I would suggest you look up EPP as an Enneagram Prison Project online and go, is this something I can contribute to in some way? It could be just monetary, or it's one of the most broken parts of our society.
Yeah.
Why not start putting some serious attention there? When we see the statistics of what percentage of people are behind bars, it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so those are the two that I'd like to bring forward for whom this might resonate.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for that. I mean, what you shared with the Enneagram is really an embracing of our humanity at our best. Celebrating that and seeing that in places where we've maybe dehumanized others without giving them a second look. And so I so appreciate you inviting people to consider what we do and how we, deal with people who are struggling and have problems. And start to open our hearts more compassionately. And it starts with ourselves. And then we can expand and do that for others. So what a beautiful, beautiful gift. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. We will, the Enneagram, you spell it. How do you spell it? Just for people who are.
E-N-N-E-A. Ennea, which is Greek for nine. Enneagram. Think of gram as in measurement, the measurement of nine aspects of us.
Mm-hmm. And fun activity for the family. Everyone looking it up and discussing with each other. Jean-Pierre, this has been so, so great. Thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for all you've done so far and for joining us in this conversation and contributing to making this a more mindful world.
The pleasure was mine. Thank you for this interchange. I loved it.
Great. Take care.